sounds great. All we need is a girl drummer and a saxophonist, and we'd have a girl band today. That would be great. I wonder what you think we ought to do this year as a church. What should be our vision? What should be our goals? I'm sure you might have some ideas. A few weeks ago, we had the leadership team of the church meet together. That was the staff, the MLT, and the SST, and we did some planning for our year, and we identified several goals for 2018. Things like renovation plans, get them done, grow small groups, grow our community engagement and contribution, build our care and connection, call a youth and young adults pastor. Those kinds of things were on our list. Do you like my drawings? I did engineering. Now, as important and fun all those kinds of goals are, is that our vision for 2018? Is that what we, at the heart of it all, really want to do? I'm going to say no, it's not. There's a focus that's far more fundamental for us, and it's captured here in this passage, verse 27. The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our vision is that Christ's presence and power would be so real in you that it would be seen in the world. And it would be seen among us. That when people come among us, they'd experience Christ in you. You know, church life is full of lots of great things. You get community, service, friendship, worship, motivation, support, care, on and on it goes. Really rich things in life. But the Apostle Paul knows that there's only one thing that takes us from, as the passage tells us in verse 21, from people who are alienated from God, enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. There's only one thing that can take you from that posture before God to then, later he says, that you'll be holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. One thing. Nothing else. Christ in you. That's the only thing that will change you from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. That alone. Not community, not friendship, not worship, not service. Just one thing. Christ in you. And that's why he says he's fully focused. You heard it in verse 28, didn't you? We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend. I like my translation a bit better than the one that was read out. Strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. One thing that'll change people's lives. And that's why I'm fully focused. I give all of my energy to it with all that energy that Christ works in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, I've been the acting youth pastor since July, I think, last year. And one of the things that I know, having been a youth pastor before, community really matters. You've got a whole bunch of high school students, never take for granted that high school students will naturally connect. You've got to work hard at that. Everyone's feeling awkward, got pimples, hormones, etc. It's hard to connect. It's true. So community really matters. Getting friends to come to youth group is important. So having fun is important. But if Jesus isn't our primary focus, then it's all peripheral. Which is why I was rude enough to say at the end of the year that I wanted our young people to come to know Jesus. That I felt that a number of them had been on the sidelines of faith, they'd grown up in church and in often Christian homes, but had not made a choice themselves for following Jesus. For me, I will strenuously contend until that condition has been changed. Why? Because I really do believe that when Christ is in you, you can navigate all those terrible hormones and challenging choices that you have as a teenager. And in fact, you can stop the stupid rhetoric that teenagehood is a pain in the neck, that teenagers are nothing but a problem, and you can turn it around and you can be amazing if you have Christ in you. That's the best hope, I believe, for a young person. You know, when we talk about as a church, we want to engage our community. We want to serve others. These are important things. We want to make a contribution to the good, the common good of our city and those around us. They're all important things. But what is our best offer? What is the best hope we have for the people we live with? It's Christ in you. There's nothing better than moving from an enemy of God to being a child of God. And the only way that can happen is through faith in Jesus. The only way that you can move from a stranger to knowing God personally is because of Jesus. It is Christ in you. We care for people in this church. If you go through trouble, we'll probably feed you. We'll listen to you. But will we lead you to our best hope? Our best hope. That for all of the food that we might give you and all the hours when we might listen to you, that your best hope, if it be mental health, if it be challenges in life, your best hope is Christ in you. You change that and you'll be able to see some positive steps forward in the rest of your life. Paul says to the Colossians, don't take this for granted. Look at with me in verse 23. So just before that, he said that Christ has reconciled you by his physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. The promise is if you believe in Jesus, you are rescued. You're free. God looks at you without any accusation. You are holy. Here's the warning. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. The warning is, don't take it for granted. You can start well, it seems, and then you can lose focus on the hope you have in Jesus, and you lose what was promised in the gospel. Galatians 4 tells us a little bit about that. Paul, who loves the Galatians, has seen them come to faith. They come to faith in Jesus. They loved him, but somewhere along the line, they got off track. And so Paul writes this letter, Galatians, to them to try and get them back on track. And he says this to them. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. What he sees in them is he sees that because they're getting off track in their faith, they're letting go of all the things that are their hope. All the things that are true and right in Jesus. And he feels like he's in pains of childbirth again for their sakes. Because he feels like I'm revisiting this whole you coming to know Jesus, you being born again. I feel like I'm in the pains of childbirth. I was there. It didn't look great. And Paul says, something of that experience is what I experience. Because I am so desperate, Galatians, that you might know that Christ will be formed in you. That you won't lose track. You won't get off from what matters. Do you know what it's like to hold that kind of burden for someone? You know what that's like? And Paul urges them, and he reminds them, and he teaches them again in the whole letter. That's why he wrote it. And he says, this is what the good news of Jesus means for you. This other stuff that's been told to you that you're believing in are lies. People may be doing it with zeal, but what they want is to alienate you. They don't want good for you. But he writes this letter to remind them that the good news of Jesus is what you trust in. This is this year. This year. I want you to know that that is my burden for us as the people of God this year. renovation plans and community engagement, it's all important. But the most important thing is that Christ would be formed in you. The most important thing that Christ would be in you, so you might know the hope of his glory. That's why our personal practices of reading God's word, praying, worshipping, serving, they all matter. It's one thing for us to make a choice as a community to come and worship on a Sunday. But it really matters what you do. In a couple of weeks' time, I've invited our young people to commit to, you know what to call it, so I called it Next, which is a terrible name, but I'm terrible with names. But to commit to reading the scriptures daily, praying regularly, having a spiritual buddy, somebody that they keep accountable with. I want them to develop a habit of that. Because you got to choose that for yourself, don't you? And if we want to know the reality of what Christ in us means, we've got to acknowledge that we get off track all the time. Tomorrow, you will get off track. So at what point between now and tomorrow will you need to read God's word and be in prayer? Tomorrow you'll need it. Not just today, you'll need it tomorrow. And some of you here need some hard accountability on having that in your life. Because you're going to say to yourself right now, yeah, Jason, you are so right, I need that tomorrow. And you'll get home and go to bed and wake up on Tuesday morning and go, I didn't do it. You know this. You need hard accountability. Somebody who said to you, said that you'd read the Bible this week, did you do it? We've got to choose it for ourselves, and we need people to help us stick to what we choose for ourselves. Which is why I want our young people to choose for themselves Bible reading and prayer. I want them to have a friend who helps them do that, and I want them to meet regularly in smaller groups so that that would stay true. It's not just true for young people. The great thing that with our young people is I get to get them together on a Friday night in a smaller group. You people, harder to corral, unless you want to come to youth group. We had a water fight on Friday night. You really missed out. Harder to get together and persuade and collect together so that you can stay on track, so that you can keep being reminded what it means for Christ to be in you. Sunday services are not enough. We have in our church people who do BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. They're great. I met with Rosie and she's informed me on how great they are. But if you wanted to commit to reading the Bible and growing deeper in the knowledge of what that the scriptures hold, I can't think of anything better than BSF. It's great. Maybe that's for you. Home groups. There are a number of people in our church who are part of home groups. They meet regularly. Some meet monthly. Some meet fortnightly. Some meet weekly. But they connect together. They listen to one another. They pray for each other. They study the scriptures. I've been involved in a home group over years. I've found it very helpful for my life. Though being the pastor, I find I need to shut up a bit. Some people here are involved in prayer groups. There's a great one on Thursday morning. But you get together and you pray and you lift up the burdens of others and each other. And some people here, I've seen you meet together in cafes, catch up, hear how life's going for each other, encourage each other, and God willing, keep your focus on following Jesus. I want you to think, who do you meet with? There's a range of opportunities there, but who do you meet with? Who helps you stay on track so that you might know the riches of what Christ in you means? Here's an easy test. If you get together with a friend or a group of friends, is it social? Is it just social? and I'm all for that. But does it build you up in your faith? Easy test is this. Do you pray together? I know a bunch of us hang out together. We do social things together. But my question is, do you pray together? And do you ever talk about the scriptures? Now, I know that I got friends, we don't pull open the Bible every time we meet in a cafe, but we are always circling around what the scriptures are saying to us. It's in us because we read it regularly, we're talking about it, we're wrestling with it. And any of my friends that I meet in cafes that keep me on track could ask me anytime, Jason, what are you reading? What are you wrestling with at the moment? What are you thinking through? And hopefully I'd have an answer for them. Do you have those kind of friends? I know that in our church at the moment, 55 men aren't in any small group. Right, 55. I don't know if that's good or bad. But that's 55 men who aren't on the books, as far as I can tell. Do you 55 men meet with somebody to encourage you in your faith? Because you will get off track. Life will turn you to at least apathy. But you will lose this focus of what it means for Christ to be in you. You know, the reason why I wanted to run Game Changer is to give people a taste and see of what it might mean to be in a group. You could take that on board. I do not take for granted, even in my day job. Say, my day job is reading this book all the time. But I never take for granted that my life in Christ requires me to keep a personal faith. You would expect that of me, wouldn't you? You would expect that I don't preach professionally. I come with all those concordances and the commentaries and I come up with a well-crafted message that means nothing to me, just that I needed to tell you on a Sunday. No, you would expect of me that I have a personal faith. That I wake up in the morning and I'm prayerful. You'd expect that I read the scriptures for no other reason than for meeting God. Well, I expect that of you, my friends. I expect of you. I expect it of us all. The Christian life and the Christ in you is not reserved for the spiritual elite. Those of us who went to Bible college and have degrees on the wall called theology. It's all of us. It's available to all of us. Paul is burdened for the whole Colossian church. He's strenuously contending for every person. And I'm the same. Paul pastors me well in teaching me that. Our vision is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That in this life, that Christ will be so at work in you, that you will live a life worthy of the Lord, that you'll bear fruit in every good work, that you'll grow in the knowledge of God, that you'll be strengthened with all power so that you'll have great endurance and patience, that you'll know redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our vision for this year is that Christ would be in you so that in the life to come, you'll stand in the fullness of the glory of the Son he loves. The one in whom all things are created. That thrones, powers, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And you will stand alongside him. And he will call you my brother and my sister. That's what we proclaim. Him. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. So that we may present everyone mature in Christ. To this end, we strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in us. Let's pray. So, our God, I've tried to strenuously contend this morning for my soul's sake and for ours. I would pray, our God, that you would increase Christ in us. That these things I've read out, which are listed in verse 10 to 12, would be true of us. that we would see this hope of glory, this person of Christ stamped on our character and on the character of our church. This I ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.